This is Weekday for Friday, June 30th. I'm Marcy Silman. My son is really great at finding treasures on the street. Aside from $20 bills, which he's actually found, he's also brought home pens, little Walkman radios, even sports trading cards. I confess I never find anything, but I lose a lot of things. And someday I'm going to run across something that I've written in Davy Rothbart's publication, Found. If you haven't seen it, you'll know from hearing This American Life what it is, a magazine full of all sorts of lists, letters, photographs, and they give you that vicarious peek into someone else's life. Maybe you have sent Davy Rothbart something that you found. I know at least one Seattle librarian has contributed to Found.
That's right.
Because I read that in your new book, Found, more of the best lost, tossed, and forgotten items from around the world. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much, Marcy.
And also here is Peter Rothbart, brother of Davy Rothbart.
Yeah, and
thanks
Peter,
for having us.
Peter's a great finder as well. I call him the world's greatest finder.
Are there some people that are better at finding?
Yes. Yeah, sure. Peter is a master. I'm better at losing things than I am at finding them.
Well, I'm terrified because I'm afraid one of my lists is going to show up in your book.
It very well may. And Peter, not only does he find stuff, he's actually written songs based on some of the found stuff. So later this hour, I think he's going to share one of his songs with us. Yeah, it's so much fun, you know, just, you know, Found magazine. It's just really a collection of notes and letters and, you know, anything that people have found. So it's, you know, like, and then people send this stuff to me from all over the country, really all around the world. Like this note came from North Carolina. It says, "Dear Ron, the longer I think about what I'm doing, the sicker I feel. Ron, I'm sorry, but I don't think we should continue to have a relationship together, at least not as a couple. I love you, but things have not been the same since we found out that we were related." I hate when that happens. "If you no longer want to speak to me because of this, I will understand. I'll still come visit you on Sundays if you like. I just don't know what to say to you. Love always, Alicia." And, you know, my friends helped me open up all this mail, and my friend who read this found note, she burst into laughter, passed it to me, and I started laughing. But later we were talking about it and just thinking, you know, it's so hard to find true love in this world. It's so hard to find that one special someone. How rough would that be? You know, you finally find him and it's your cousin or your sister.
Well, how did you actually start in this business, I guess?
I started this, this was always a hobby of mine, finding notes and letters. Even when I was a kid, I would pick stuff up and, you know, be amazed how powerfully you could connect to someone just from a little half-page love note you'd pick up off the grass. And me and my mom would look at them and just kind of, you know, wonder about the stories, who the people were. But there was one note in particular that kind of sparked the idea to do something, you know, larger with all of this stuff. And it was this note that was on the windshield of my car in Chicago late one night. And my name's Davy, but there was a note on my windshield addressed to Mario. So I opened it up and it said, "Mario, I hate you. You said you had to work. Why is your car here at her place? You're a liar. I hate you. I hate you." Signed, Amber. P.S. Page me later. Something about that, I was struck by, you know, how angry and upset she is, but also how hopeful and in love. And, of course, it wasn't even Mario's car. It was my car. And so I started showing that to some of my friends, and you know, they thought it was interesting. And, in fact, they started showing me stuff that they had found that was on their fridge. And it seemed like a shame to me only that people that troop through their kitchen would get to see their great finds. So the idea of doing Found Magazine, you know, it just seemed like a natural idea, making a magazine that was all found stuff. Everyone could share their finds with everyone else.
Davy Rothbart and Peter Rothbart are with us and talking about things found. Well, what about things like little trinkets? Mostly, you flat things make it into a magazine.
I mean, I guess I'm always most struck by, I mean, and I love pictures, and I also love, you know, yeah, objects, and they have their own beauty to them. But I'm always, I think, most taken with some of these little notes that have some story to them. And sometimes it's just a fragment of a story, and it's up to you to piece together what it's all about. This was a little note that came from, found on the ground in Portland, Oregon. And it seems to be a guy who's like counseling his friend who's in the early, early stages of a relationship. So he says, "Don't rush things. Be her friend first. Take her out for lunch. Ask her, 'Would you like to go out for lunch? My treat, please. Come on, please.'" So I like, Marcy, how he's like anticipating rejection for his friend before he's even had a chance.
Well, I like that. Michelle emails this about airplanes. "I once wrote a very meaningful love letter on an airplane, and then I realized after deboarding that I'd left it behind. It occurred to me that the airline attendants must find a lot of letters like this. I can't be the only one who does that."
Well, that's absolutely true. In Found Magazine number one, there's an incredible journal that was a woman who had visited Hawaii with her husband, and it's her journal of her trip there. The thing was that what was striking about it is that each day, all they did was watch TV in the hotel room and go to eat at a place called Cheeseburgers in Paradise.
Really?
And so you read this day after day, and it's kind of a an interesting journal. But in fact, yeah, in I think in Found Magazine number 2, I know there's a girl had written a breakup note. Maybe it was notes for a breakup letter on the back of an air sickness bag. and just left that in the seat pocket in front of her. So, yeah, I mean, we do get a lot of stuff from people that work on the airlines.
This is Weekday. Davey Rothbart of Found Magazine and his brother Peter are in our studios. Davey, you must be traveling with a whole suitcase full of stuff.
I've got a duffel, my little green Book of the Month Club bag that I squeeze all my finds into, but it's bursting now full because my brother and I were on a 38-city tour in 44 days. And people have been bringing us great found stuff to all the events.
Really?
Someone gave me this one. It was two receipts they found in Baltimore. Found them a week apart, and I copied them over. The first receipt, it just says, gun, ski mask, nerds, which sounds like an interesting afternoon.
Yeah.
And then the next receipt he found a week later, it says, chicken ramen noodles, 12-pack lubricated condoms. It sounds like an interesting night.
Or not so much fun. We have a lot of listeners who want to share.
Yeah, I'd love to hear stories.
So here's Michael in Port Orchard. Hi, thanks for holding, Michael.
Oh, greetings. I have a couple of interesting finds that dramatically changed my life, but since I've been waiting on the phone, I went into the box.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yes. I used to bicycle all around Tacoma, and I walked everywhere, and I found things.
Such as?
What I'm looking at right now is probably close to 30 syringes. Those are just the ones that I decided to keep, and I'd always break the needles off, the end peg.
Good.
You didn't use them?
And, oh, God, dude.
I'm just playing.
It's weird. Okay, and then to go along with the needles, you would sometimes find spoons.
Right. Oh, naturally.
Right? Yeah, that people were cooking it. Hmm. And then in this box, I have toys. I have pieces of car parts. I have 2 9-inch nails. I have bullets. Casings and real bullets that have been run over.
You're ready to siege the White House.
Yeah, but Michael, where were you? Where were you walking around Hilltop? Where were you?
Oh my gosh! I actually did find a small bag of crack one time.
Wow!
And what did you do with that?
I have 2 bottles of somebody's medications in here that were found on the streets of Tacoma.
This is the one warning I want to give you, Michael. Is be careful with found crack because. If you tell a police officer, that wasn't mine, I just found it, and it's part of my collection, it's not gonna help you out. Just talk to the judge.
The ones that I just got rid of real quickly, I thought, this is kind of bad. You know, I've always wanted to find something like this. Now that I have it, what do I do?
Toss it.
I've got a box in here that's something called China Nympho Cream.
Send that to Found Magazine. We may have a use for that.
Yeah, I'll have to send you guys a photograph of this. So anyway, so the thing that changed my life originally, back in the early 90s, I was in Portland, Oregon, and I was working, and we went over to this construction site that we were supposed to be cleaning up, and hanging from an awning was the book Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
That's cool.
That is really great. Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Yeah, and what's interesting about stories like that, Michael, because I can relate, you know, sometimes when you find these notes on the ground, you know, it's like you've been wrestling with some problem in your own life, and then the note that you find actually seems to speak to the thing you've been dealing with, and you wonder, did I find this note, or did this note find me? Did the universe, you know, direct it toward me?
Davey and Peter Rothbart are with us, and we're talking about things found and lost, because it's an ecosystem, I guess, if somebody's found it.
Yeah, and you know, one of the great joys about traveling around is... And doing these tours is getting to meet the people who have found all the stuff that's in Found Magazine and that's in the Found books. And I actually got a copy of the new Found book. I've been getting autographed by the finders in
the city
on the page where their find is. And then you get to hear some of the backstories. Like this woman in Providence, Rhode Island, she told me about this note, one of my favorites from the first Found book. And it's kind of in kid's handwriting. You can see it says, Adventure Club, how to get into the club. You need to know how to climb a fence. You need to like adventure. And then the rules. No messing up the club. Don't bring anything in without permission from Shane or Ethan. You have to be nice to squirrels. And then finally, most importantly, you can't tell anyone where or what the club is. And so the woman that found it, you know, she thought she might know who Shane and Ethan were. Just some of the neighborhood kids. She'd see them running around with their friends. So she went up to them on the street a few days later, started asking them about the adventure club and reciting all these top secret rules. So the kids are shocked, you know, like, how does she know all this classified information? Well, she told them that her dog named Kismet had overheard them making up the rules. So they were totally speechless.
Oh, my God.
As they were walking away, she heard the youngest one say to his friend, "Wow, Kismet heard us."
There you go. You never know who's listening or who's reading.
Right. Well, she said she still likes to imagine the kids being really secretive around the dog after that.
I bet they are. Well, now they're old. They're probably figured it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
This is David in Seattle. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to tell you about a time when we had bought an 1841 farmhouse back in New York State back in the 70s. And it was a mess. So we started just ripping it out all the way to the walls. And in between the plaster wall and the outside wall was all kind of stuff that had fallen down from kids that stayed up in the attic. Mm. We have like 15 children in this little house. And we found like a leather trifold book bag and notebooks from school, one of which had the date in it of 1891.
Wow.
And then all there was like high button shoes along with the button hook. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of things like that. So we just put them on a tray in the shed right next to the porch and just put things aside. Well, about a year later, these two elderly women show up at the door and introduce themselves as having been born in this house.
Wow.
And so we invited them in, and then we told them that we'd found all this stuff in the wall, and we brought it out to them. And she said, oh, this was my brother's school book.
That's amazing.
Oh,
you're able to reunite them.
Shoes.
Really?
It was astounding.
That's cool. So great. I mean, and it's happened a few times with maybe never so dramatically, but where people have seen their notes in Found Magazine and in the same way, you know, said, hey, that's mine. Just like these old women had you know, identified their brother's stuff. And I never knew if people would be freaked out or, you know, we change all the names in the magazine.
Oh, do you? To protect
all the personal information.
Guilty.
Yeah. But fortunately, you know, the only times it's happened, people have been real cool about it. A little bit mystified. You know, how did you find that? And why would anyone care about these little love notes?
This is Weekday on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman, and Davey Rothbart and Peter Rothbart are here, and we're talking about things found that wind up either in Found Magazine or in the new book, Found Too.
Yeah, well, Peter now, you know, he has written songs based on some of these found notes, and you know, he'll tell you how he takes inspiration from, you know, the notes themselves and turns them into songs. I think, you know, a couple of his songs may not be FCC friendly enough to play.
Certainly not.
You'll see,
okay, but you're going to play one that is.
What's this one that you're going to play?
Well, this song I want to play for you is based on a note that was found in San Francisco a couple of years ago. And it's kind of a love-hate note. You know, it's clear that the person who wrote it is doing their best to try and salvage what they can in the relationship they have with the person they're writing to. But they're simultaneously doing a very effective job of just stomping all over that relationship. And so what I did is I took a lot of the original, you know, words and phrases from the note, and I mixed it together with some of my own material, and I came up with this song, which is called Abel Glass Note.
Abel Glass Note, Peter Rothbart.
I can offer up my room. The light is bad and the phone is dead, but I'll be here with you. When you cut away the postage, you read these words I write. I hope you're safe and in a place where you can listen right. When I tell you you're a fighter and a staying hand, and both can't hold the same sword, maybe if you realign your heart and mind, then neither will be lying. I watched the mile markers passing while your friend just played a muse. From Berlin came to San Jose and on to Santa Cruz. I thought about you leaving and the way you said goodbye. like I was best. A love note left for someone else to find. Let me tell you that I have regrets, but I will let you in before I shut you out. 'Cause when the stabbing's done and the blood has run, you're still all that I think about. We've been so unwise and compromised. I don't know how to let things fall. So it's your turn now to speak or just let fate decide it all. California, we can give our life some thought and never to each other do the things that friends do not.
Yeah. That was beautiful.
Yeah, nice, Petey.
Very beautiful. Peter Rothbart. He is the brother of Davey Rothbart, but in his own right, he's frontman for a band called The Poem Adept. And that song was based loosely, I think, maybe?
Yeah, loosely.
On one of the many, many things that have been sent to Davey and parents of Davey and Peter in Ann Arbor. And that's where the stuff from Found magazine is all sort of generated. And we pulled some things, people have been listening to them, but we also, there's a great, you know, sometimes you find something and then there's responses. And so this is something we really liked that we wanted you to read.
Well, right. My friend Dan Tice in outside of L.A., he found this note, and it says, "There is a person in our immediate area who is trapping our neighborhood cats, and I have no idea where he is taking them. I'm affected because between my across-the-street neighbor and myself, we have 5 cats who are all spayed and neutered, and we feed them. No one in the neighborhood objects to the cat except the person who is doing this terrible deed." And it goes on to say where this guy's cats are missing, and he suspects this one particular neighbor of taking it. He says at the end, you know, let the police know if any of your cats are missing. Thank you. The person who is trapping cats is Frank Talbert. And then he has his address.
And phone number.
And phone number. And so then this Frank Talbert guy is apparently defending himself because there was another note found. And it says, "Dear neighbor, it has come to my attention that my other neighbor has sent out a memo throughout our community stating false information about me. I can assure you that his accusations are absolutely not true. He says, stated that in his memo that I'm trapping cats. This is not true. I have not, nor do I ever intend to trap cats. I set out a gopher trap, which is what my neighbor saw on my property." And he goes on to say that the purpose of this memo is to assure you, my neighbors, that I'm not trapping cats. Please feel free to contact me with any further questions or concerns. Thank you, Frank.
Wow.
So, you know, it's one thing to trap cats. It's another to admit it in public.
Diane M. Ballard, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. So the thing I was calling about is that, and I actually sent this in to you, I don't know if you received it, but I found a green bean at a salad bar. It was in my salad, I was about to eat it, and it had somebody's name written on it.
I did get that. I absolutely
remember it.
Yeah, I remember it for sure. That's going in the next Found magazine. I thought that was ridiculous. I mean, trust me, I've passed girls my phone number on some weird, you know, whatever is available before, but never on a green bean.
Diane, tell me more. What did this green bean look like?
Well, it's just a normal, like, 2.5-inch green bean you would find on a salad bar. This is a really good, like, reputable place. It's not some, like, scary place. And it had a woman's name on it, and it just fascinated me. I thought, is this the person who
in pen?
Yeah,
it was like a pen or
a ballpoint pen. Yeah, and I couldn't figure out what it was, but I thought, is this the person who picked it, and they sort of want to like
Wow.
Put it out there that they're the ones who, like, sort of picked this green for you, the green bean.
And what I love about some of these mysterious and cryptic finds are just that they are a riddle. And it's up to you to piece together what the story is and how did that come to be, you know?
Absolutely.
Did you send the whole bean or did you take a picture of it?
I sent the bean.
You sent the bean.
I was wondering how was it fairly well preserved or was
It was well preserved when it got to me and it went down real yummy. No, I kept it. I'm saving it in our special vault. For the which is my desk drawer, which is where I put my favorite of the finds that come in.
Oh, that's so
great. Yeah, no, I love that one.
Diane, thanks for that. Thanks for sharing the bean with Davey. Well, I think maybe it was somebody who picked that bean and felt like she had to account for her labor in the field.
It could be that. You just don't know. And sometimes, you'll find stuff in unusual places. Our friend Nikki Jones in Dallas, Texas, she got to work in the morning and there was these three mysterious faxes in the office fax machine. So she had no idea who they were from, just these handwritten faxes, but they got the time code on them so you could see. The first one was from 2:36 a.m., and it said, "I just want Gigi back. Tell me where she is, and I'll come get her. Why are you doing this? Be a man." Whoa. The next one, a few minutes later, it says, "This is cruel and emotional abuse. No wonder you drive the women you're with crazy. They either join cults or want to kill themselves. Be a man for once in your life. The world doesn't revolve around you. Just let me have Gigi now. I can't believe you're even doing this. I will come get her. If not, I'm calling the police." And then the final fax, just a few minutes after that, it just said, "Sorry, wrong number." And there's this little, it's like a smiling, it's more like a oops-looking face. Oops.
This is in the found too. It's in the book.
It's in the new book. So even stories like that, you still have to try to piece together, who is Gigi? Is Gigi a dog, a cat, a child? It's hard to say.
But I like that because I'm wondering, it's like people say literary skills have been disappearing in America because of technology. And so maybe we can capture all the drama in these really short notes. And that's how we're putting all of our literary talent to work.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see how the way people write and even kids, some of the stuff is so funny. And then some of it is kind of touching or crushing. And this was a short one from Seattle that I thought I'd share. And a woman just found it on the street, in front of her house. She sent it into Found Magazine. So it says, "Dear Mommy and Daddy, I know it's hard for you to stop. I know you love me, but when you keep bringing that stuff in the house, it feels like you don't. I don't want to be rude, but I really want you to stop. Please, for me, Mommy and Daddy, don't bring it in the house. It makes a greater chance of us getting kicked out of here. I do get scared. Please, Mommy and Daddy, I love you. I just don't like it when you do it. Love, Eliza." And so for me, one like that, it's just, you could see half a piece of paper, and it's just, but it's so short, but it tells you such a powerful story about this poor girl and her situation. And it's ones like that one that just really move and affect me, that make me want to pick up every piece of paper I see floating down the street.
I want to read this last email from Kim. "The Seattle schools have used the same light little blue pre-printed hall passes, at least since I was in school, for tardy and absence excuses. Last week, a couple days after school let out, I was walking past my neighborhood elementary school and found an entire booklet of them on the sidewalk. They were clearly contraband. It was so evident that some enterprising kid had had a private stash of these and had flung them aside while running down the block. Don't need these anymore, for 3 months anyway. Two of the slips were stuck together with an enormous pink wad of gum. It just encapsulated summer for me."
That's a beautiful story.
Davey Rothbart and Peter Rothbart are here. Thank you both for being with us.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having us, Marcy.
This is Weekday.